Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio. Theatre, film, TV and more. Susie Rong reviews it all on Joy Drive.
Good afternoon, Susie Rong.
Good afternoon. Has your Christmas tree come out of storage yet?
Do you know what? It's funny you say that because I had one of those, you know, you just love throwing things out moments last year, and my Christmas tree that hadn't been put up for a few years went out. So I don't have one.
Hadn't been put up for a few years.
Yeah, hadn't been put up for a few years. Do you have a Christmas tree?
I do have a Christmas tree that's, I think, about 12 or 13 years old now.
Uh-huh. Is it a good one?
And, you know, it is a classy fiber optic one. When I bought it, it didn't occur to me that it is not a one Christmas deal, but like it would stick with you for a long time because I'm not someone who just like throw things out for no reason.
Okay.
You know, because you know it's not very good for the environment.
No,
but
exactly.
Now I'm looking at this, like, you know, this tree that's been with me for over 10 years, and I must say, I feel like it's looking really tired. But I just can't bear to just kind of chuck it out for no reason, and you know, exchange it for a younger model.
That would be really, really cruel. But I think the thing with Christmas trees is, you know, that they do get a little bit older, don't they? And then they start to lose their tinsel or whatever you call it. And the thing I love it. I love putting a tree up and decorating it, and particularly the lights. Lights were always something that captured me at Christmas, but I hate pulling it down.
Hang on, so the last couple of years, had you not have a tree up?
No tree at all. I mean, I'm not religious, so for me, Christmas was all about tinsel and lights, not so much about the religious message behind it. But that was the only reason. And I just thought, you know what, I'm not putting it up this year because it means I have to pull it down. And I don't want to pull it down. I hated that. So I thought, just don't put
That's
it up.
That's one of the things with about living alone. I think you and I both live alone, don't we?
Yes.
And like the whole Christmas thing, like you imagine that someone else is going to pull it down.
No, we have to do it, Susie. I mean, we can decorate them so beautifully, but it's got to be under. And it got to a point where I would put the Christmas tree up and I'd decorate it in such a way that it was easy to remove them. You know, nothing was intertwined or anything. It was a quick bang, 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 and it could be put away. But I don't have one. But maybe, Susie, I should go and buy one. What do you reckon?
Well, I hope you get a little bit festive. I think it's important to feel a bit festive at home.
Mm.
And I hope all our listeners, you know, do get in the mood a bit. You know, regardless of the Christianity side of it, I think just something to get into the mood. You know, it's a special time of the year where everything kind of just slows down a bit. I think we all owe ourselves to a little bit of a breather. From what has been a tough year for many people.
Exactly. All right, Susie, I will commit to getting a Christmas tree. We'll talk more about it after you tell us what you thought of the new movie. It's called A Savage Christmas.
So Davina is going home for Christmas. It's been 3 years since she last saw her family, and during this time she has transitioned and is now her full, authentic self. Seeing her parents and siblings for the first time as a woman is clearly quite the occasion. And in the movie A Savage Christmas, out now in cinemas, we observe the challenges, both comedic and heart-rending, when a trans person returns home for an attempt at reconnection and reconciliation. This is not an easy process, as many of us in the community have learned from our own personal experiences. There is a lot of passive aggression to deal with, including misgendering and dead naming, so it's no wonder why so many of us choose to go away and stay away. But back to the story. Now that Davina is out and proud, we discover that other members of her family have themselves been hiding secrets in their own closets. A Savage Christmas contains excellent storylines for all of its characters. And even though not as hilarious as its title might suggest, it is an enjoyable watch. I'm frankly relieved to have a Christmas movie from Australia instead of the US or the UK, and love the fact that it's not all cisgender hetero people and their babies for a change. Notable also is that Davina brings along her boyfriend Kane, who also happens to be trans, so that's even more representation if you can believe it. The couple appear to be the most sensible ones in the film, with all the other personalities revealing themselves to be completely off their rockers. There is, however, something a little too level-headed about the movie itself that prevents it from being an actual laugh riot. Maybe that's too much sensitivity and not enough brashness and outrage for something of this genre. A Savage Christmas is groundbreaking, though important for being perhaps the first that showcases the family lives of trans Australians at the holiday season, no less, in a family-friendly movie that you can share with all your loved ones, young and old. Warren, it won't be long till Christmas. Is it a nice time of the year for you?
Oh, look, Christmas, as I said, I'm not a religious person, and, you know, my father said, you don't need that, you know, I won't say what he called it, in your life. So I wasn't really exposed to a lot of that. So it was just a time to get together. And of course, you know, it was just my brother and I and my parents and my grandparents. So we're a pretty small family. Unfortunately, my brother passed away when he was age 21. So it's just me and my parents now. And it's never been... it's never a big thing. It's a sad moment. It's a lonely time for us as a family. So we don't really celebrate it, to be honest with you, but we get together and have an excuse to go out for a meal, or, you know, maybe I might cook something or my mother might cook something. But that's it. It's not so much a festive period for us. It's a very quiet period and a reflective period for our family.
What was it like? Oh, it's a time to remember your brother.
Yeah, so it is a time. I mean, that's it's interesting because after watching the movie A Savage Christmas, I was just looking at the, you know, and you hear about this, the dysfunction of families that goes on, and I feel like I was quite lucky because we had a small family and we were quite functional. Of course, we had the usual arguments and all those sorts of things, and you know, with my brother, we would, you know, have those sibling fights all the time, but it was a functional family, and Christmas was a nice day. We would go, we'd eat, we'd open presents, do all that sort of thing. We never had all this drama that goes on and that I hear about. And in some ways, I was thinking about it. You know, I miss my brother dearly, and I wish he was around now as my parents' age, but he's not. But, you know, I'm glad that I had a small family and I don't have this dysfunction that you see in A Savage Christmas, because it is full on, absolutely full on dysfunction.
Yeah. The Savage family is an interesting mix of people, because the mother and father had one child of their own and then adopted two others. So it is a fairly large family with some complexities. I thought it was interesting that they added the dimension of adoption to it. I wish the story would go a bit more into why they had adopted. I did feel like the actors all did individually an excellent job at sort of creating quite distinct characters, but I felt like it didn't feel like they were a family. I didn't feel a closeness there. And I thought that was one of the problems of the movie. But like I said earlier, the surprises that came out, you know, as we got to know them and, you know, this person is hiding this thing and that person is hiding that thing. I think that was quite well done.
I think so too. And Susie, I must admit, whenever I'm asked to watch a Christmas movie like you, I mean, for two reasons. One, I find them quite sad when they're very family orientated, because I think, oh, you know, I wish my family was all together again. But I also find them quite cheesy and quite, you know, white, and everyone's got polished teeth and everything's perfect. And I don't like them, to be honest. I don't enjoy watching them. But for a Christmas movie, Savage Christmas is more my kind of Christmas movie, I have to admit. I loved Uncle Dick.
Yeah, Uncle Dick by an actor that I know in Sydney, Darren Gilshannon, is very funny. I wish there was more of that level of comedy.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah. I did think that it was, you know, the film is rated M. It did feel very young. It felt like it was very careful that, oh, we want families to be able to see it. And I guess that's a really good thing, especially when you've got trans characters at the center of it. But for it, for the movie to have worked for me better, I think I needed the jokes to be a bit more rude, a bit more adult, but it wasn't.
I agree with you in that respect, but I think if I weigh it up and I think, you know what, people are going to see the title A Savage Christmas and they're going to go along with their kids and families and they're going to watch it and they're going to see what it's like for a trans person to go back to their family at Christmas time. And so I'm kind of glad that they did tone down the jokes to try and get people through those doors to watch this, because it is a different Christmas movie and we need these movies.
Yeah, I just imagine, like, if you're able to get your family to watch it, like, you get the, if you're able to get a multi-generational conversation as a result of the film, I think it'll be very, very healthy. I think there'll be an opportunity for people to kind of open their minds a bit and maybe for some people to change minds. I think that's a good thing. Hopefully it does well.
Yeah, I hope so too, and I'm sure it will. It is called A Savage Christmas. We're joined by Susie Rong. Susie, how did you feel watching it as a trans woman? What is Christmas like for you?
Well, I've lived in this country for a long time without my family, only with my close friends, you know, the chosen family scenario for my Christmas. And that's, you know, that's fairly easy. None of us are religious about it, but we take it as a sort of an annual opportunity to really get together and spend really good quality time together, eating and cooking and all that. But when I was watching the film, I did think, some of it I could really feel the challenge from that character Davina's perspective, because, you know, I didn't go back at Christmas. Like, the first time I went home as as a woman, so to speak, you're full of trepidation there is a lot of kind of leading up to it and not really knowing if anyone's going to make things harder than they are. And, that feeling was very, I think, was represented quite accurately in the film. I really envied that she had Kane with her. There was a stroke of genius, I thought. But obviously I had to deal with it on my own in a different country. And it wasn't just that first time that was hard. Like, I would say, like, I return to Singapore every year to see them because my father is going up in age. And, the first few years you did feel like, I don't know. Like, you always felt like there was something that you had to deal with and they're all the little things that you shouldn't take too seriously, you know, that the pronouns and the name change constantly. It still happens. Like, it's been like over 10 years. It still happens. But because I only see them once a year for such a short time, you know, like for 3 hours over dinner, there's no time to create a scene over it, because you can't open up a thing and then not have any time to fix it or have some resolution. So you know that you're not going to see them for another year. So it's really hard to have these big discussions. But I do feel like with time, they kind of soften themselves. And also I always give them the benefit of thinking like, look, I've had a lot of time to work on this for myself. But they haven't had that amount of time because I never told them until I was ready. So I feel like then there needs to be some level of grace to kind of think that, all right, they need time to adjust. We can't expect them to, understand and get around to everything overnight. But like in the film, she did give them 3 years and, they haven't done very well for 3 years. And it just shows that you kind of do have to, well, and they all live in Queensland, I'm assuming. So she kind of has to deal with her parents' experience of it and her siblings' experience of it. Whereas I was just thinking, right, I'm just having dinner and then I'm flying away.
But do you wish that's
a little bit different.
Do you wish, Susie, you could have those deep conversations with your parents, though?
I don't know if it would mean, like, Maybe in the start, yeah, but because it's been so many years, I feel like whatever I would have said at the start, they would have learned through time, and I do see their language and their behavior shift gradually. Obviously, I have half siblings who are very young; they're in their 20s, and I have never had a single problem with them. They, you know, transness in their world is very normalized, and you know that's something I'm very glad about. I have a brother who's in his late 40s, and then my father who is in his 70s. They are challenging, but it never comes from a place of intention. You know, I don't feel like they ever have. They don't. I never feel like they intend to hurt me. It just feels like the worst that it could feel is like. They make me feel like it's such an imposition or it's such an inconvenience for them. You know, sometimes it does make me feel like that. But like I said, I only see them, you know, a few hours a year. So it's really hard to try to resolve those things.
In the movie, Susie, there's a scene where the mother says, look, we're trying, you know. How did that make you feel, I suppose, when you're thinking about your father?
I always thought he tries. He's not, you know, he's an older Chinese man, so he's not very sort of emotionally expressive. I always saw that he tried, and he never, like I said, he never came out and kind of confronted me or displayed his displeasure in any way. So I'm grateful for that. Like when I was younger and, you know, when I had come out as a gay man back in the day, I think there was more of a resistance. But, you know, now times have changed and he's also a lot older. So I think he's just a bit mellower and it's been a bit easier this time round.
Susie Rong, the movie is called A Savage Christmas. It's in cinemas. Go and see it. Get your family friends to go and see it as well. I reckon it's worth it. I enjoyed it. As we said, yeah, some of the jokes, maybe not as funny as they could be, but I think it's for a reason. Susie, what are we doing next week? Another Christmas movie.
Next week. Next week, we're taking a look at something much more serious.
Okay.
It's called Rustin on Netflix. It's a biopic about Bayard Rustin, an activist from the American Civil Rights Movement who worked closely with Dr. Martin Luther King and who was an out gay man many years before Stonewall. So that's Rustin on Netflix. And I'll see you next Tuesday.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thanks, Susie. And today's movie was called A Savage Christmas.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne. Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app. No matter where you are.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.